Oh, come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, whatever you need, he's able to supply it right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We walk in his victory. We walk in his authority. How many believe that right now? Reach over right now, whether they're standing or sitting, just get somebody by the hand right now. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for this word in music. Thank you, Lord, that your word is going forth right now, God. Lord, you are speaking to every heart right now, Lord. Oh, Lord, we stand in your authority today. We walk in your victory today, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, you need a miracle? Praise him for it right now. You need a blessing? Come on, touch him for it right now. Oh, Lord, I need a miracle, God. I'm walking, Lord, in where the path that you have laid before me, God. We have authority. We have victory. Oh, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Oh, we glorify your name today, Jesus. Oh, we exalt your name today, Jesus. Oh, let's give him a hand clap of praise right now, for he is worthy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, there are some things that happen that are quite unbelievable. You don't see how it could have happened or would happen or take place. And when the Lord brought Israel through the Red Sea, and the most powerful nation in the world is laying drowned in those waters, the Lord gave Moses a song, and it was about the miracle they had just received. And some of you may think, well, why do we keep singing? Well, we keep singing until we start believing what we're seeing. I know it looked impossible, but looky there. And we just keep on singing because the Lord has done great things for every one of us. We stand in his victory. We walk in his authority today. It's a fact. So we just sing it till we believe it. Come on, right now, reach out and get a hold of that. I'm going to sing it until I believe it. I'm going to say it until it becomes a part of me. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel his presence here today. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to church. Praise the Lord. God is good. Turn to your neighbor and tell him the Lord's been good to me. Tell him he's not finished yet, though. He wants to be better to me today. Amen. What an honor to have all of you in the house of the Lord today. And in the early church, they some of them brought songs, and some of them brought testimonies, and then some of them brought the word. I thank God the entire service is not one big song service. Thank God it's not all a testimony service. Thank God that there's times we sing, times we hear a testimony, times we pray. And then there's time for the word to feed us. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many love the word of the Lord today? Amen. Amen. The man coming to preach to you today, we're honored to have Preston and Amelia Vaughn here with us today from Fairmont, Minnesota. They drove a long way to be here. Now, they were here a few months ago visiting us in service, and I met Brother Preston on one of my first trips up to Minnesota. He was my good friend, Brother Taylor's he was kind of a mentor to Brother Preston Vaughn, and I met him there in the Boundary Waters, and we had some good times and became friends, and I watched Preston navigate some stormy waters, and I watched Preston, even though the winds were blowing and the waves were rolling, I watched him, even in the darkest hours of his life, he stayed faithful to the Lord, even when he didn't understand. But God has been good to Preston. He was formerly the Minnesota District Youth President, was a church planter in Fairmont, Minnesota. Hand of God was on him to minister. And so he was coming down, said, I'm coming down and to be with you on Sunday. I said, well, you're going to preach if you're going to be here. And so we're honored to have Preston and Amelia Vaughn. Would you welcome Brother Vaughn as he comes today to preach the word to all of you. Preston.
Give that rowdy hand clap of praise unto him who deserves it. He that is the King of Kings. Amen. The Lord of all lords. Someone real loud say, Jesus. Doesn't that sound good? Amen, 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 amen. It's a pleasure to be here. I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm scared to death. I don't know if I'm a young man anymore. I've been around a little bit. For some reason, I'm scared to death. Looking at y'all, but I know I'm in the will of God. And it was that youth choir song, Knocked Me Out, and confirmed a lot of what the Lord has put on my heart today. And I know you're standing, so I will go quickly here. But I will say this, I did meet your pastor. We call him Brother Calvin up there. That's no disrespect, but that's what we do up there. And I can say for a surety, when you meet a man in the wilderness, you kind of get the raw man. And I can say with good confidence that your pastor is a man of character. And I could go further, but he just don't participate in all the jokes. And he just don't participate in everything that's going on around a campfire with a bunch of guys. He's a good man. He's a godly man. He's a Christian. And I look up to him now a great deal, largely because my pastor that we lost to cancer this last year looked up to him. And I learned something a long time ago through watching my father follow great men. If you have great men in your life, watch who they follow. And so partly for the reason why I have so much respect for Brother Calvin is how my pastor felt about him and how Brother Calvin ministered to him and with him for so many years through his battle with cancer. So thank you, Brother Gene. The ever so elegant Sister Jean, isn't she a display of grace, y'all? Amen. Good to be here. Good to be here. Grab your Bibles. The book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter number 13. Chapter number 13 in the red letters, verse number 45. And the church says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And the church says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went, sold all that he had and bought it. Again. Are you getting the point? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. We title things so we know we're giving a sermon, I guess. So I'm going to title this, Look Again. If I could have a subtitle today, it would be Grace Street. Look at that. Look again. For the sake of just driving it home, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. My goal today is I'm going to say a lot of things. But if you leave this auditorium with one thing, remember these words, the words of Jesus Christ. Look again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Amen. Put your Bibles off to the side. Brother Gene, if you would, I would ask you to pray. That'd be all right. Amen. Before you're seated, turn around, give your neighbor a high five, a howdy-do, whatever y'all do around here in... This is Central Illinois, right? I've learned it's not Southern Illinois. This is Central Illinois. Amen. I certainly do not want to insult your intelligence today with such a simplistic sermon, but I believe it's the will of God. I'm going to talk a lot about grace today. Grace, the unmerited favor of God. Something that I didn't deserve. I don't know how you feel about you. I will let you deal with you and the relationship between you and God. But I know for a fact that there's a lot of things that God has placed in my life that I did not deserve. Can anybody share that sentiment with me today with a shout of amen or a hallelujah or something? Just so I know that there's maybe at least a consensus today, amen, that we don't deserve everything that God has given us. And someday I'm going to see the gates of heaven, and I promise you the life that I've lived, though I try to do my best, I'm not going to deserve, amen, what John the Revelator spoke of in his revelation of Jesus Christ. He's talked about a great and high mountain that the Lord showed him, and a city came down, the holy Jerusalem. It descended out of heaven from who but from God. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even, I suppose, like a jasper stone. I don't know, he's saying, but it was clear like crystal. Can I hear an amen? The wall was great. It was high. It had 12 gates, did it not? Angels at each gate and names of the apostles on, or names of the 12 tribes of Israel on each gate. It was a beautiful city that he revealed to John. The building of the wall was of jasper. The city was like what? Pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall garnished with all manner of precious. Doesn't this sound pretty? I don't know about you, but I don't deserve that. Amen. But I'm looking forward to it. How about you? Amen. Now, in my later years, I suppose in my youth, it would have been the streets of gold. It would have been the walls of jasper. I don't know. There are some things that I would maybe like to see. But after I've lived a little while, learned a few things, been through a few things, it might be different for you, and that's okay. For me, I'm looking forward to seeing the pearly gates. Gates fashioned out of one pearl, the Bible says. It takes a big pearl to make a gate. It takes a mighty big pearl to make a gate. So in my mind's eye, if you would allow me to take you there, let us stand before the proverbial welcome mat that sits at this place we call home, this heaven. There are gates of which now separate us from paved streets of transparent gold. Beautiful gates, large gates, gates that represent grace to me today. Now, I can contrast them to the gates of hell, but there's really no contrast, is there? Amen. For the gates of hell, they represent condemnation, incarceration. They represent shame. They represent disappointment. But I'm glad today that those are gates that shall not prevail. Can I hear a hand clap about that today? There's the cold, crusty gates of hell, and then there are the gates that stand to me as an emblem of grace upon grace, welcoming an imperfect people made perfect by the consistent covering of God's grace. The pearl welcomes the body of Christ. The pearl is the barrier of crossing from what we can call maybe our prison of carnality into a life of freedom and eternity with He who covered us and prepared us. Everyone say the pearly gates. I believe God, in my eyes, anyways, I believe God chose pearl as the gate material to make a very large statement. A statement that would remind us on this side of that gate of what we used to be compared to what we are now, and even more so compared, amen, to what we can and shall be with Christ Jesus. To me, the pearls represent a unique preparation process, amen, that could only be done and designed by God Himself. A preparation process that we can walk into and live in because of Christ and what He did at Calvary. Amen. 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 Are we doing all right today? Amen. The pearl represents this unique preparation. It's different than all of the other stones. The Lord in His wisdom designed grace and Calvary because He knew there must be a relationship by His design to cover, and the church says cover. There had to be and has to be a cover for carnality. Amen. And that cover could only be done by His sacrifice. Now, I could spend a lot of time on Calvary, but can we have some faith in the house? Can somebody just let me know that you know Jesus died for your sins? Do you know that He put on a robe of flesh? He put on a robe of life. He didn't have to. He came and submitted Himself to the very creation that He created. He didn't have to. Amen. But He did. And He showed the world, amen, a new dispensation that some people call grace. He became the dust He was not. Can I say it like this? He became the proverbial grain of sand He was not. And thus He began the process of grace upon grace, one layer upon another, preparing the priceless jewel of His body. This jewel that would soon call that heaven we spoke of home. Read and understand the prophecy of Malachi 3:7. The Lord said, they shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels. Welcome to the process, church. Welcome, amen, to the grind. Welcome to the life that God is bringing you through to build you into a precious jewel. Christ did it because He loved the church, gave Himself for it. Can I hear an amen? That He might sanctify you, that He might cleanse me with the washing of water by the word. Why? That He might present to Himself a glorious church, one not having spot, one not having wrinkle, but that it should be holy without blemish. That should excite somebody in the house today. Now, to build some context, can I tell you a testimony? And also at risk, I'm not trying to be flippant or funny, but at risk, I felt like God wanted to share me some testimony. Not about my personal life, but about somebody else's. To build some context today. It was in the early 90s when a young lady in the city of East Chicago, Indiana, was thrust into a series of events, any of which would possibly destroy the most capable of person. She grew up around an apostolic movement, not one we're part of today, but one that nonetheless preached Jesus and him crucified. But she was never appropriately mentored or brought into the flock, and therefore there was a foundation. She knew about Jesus. She knew about his grace, but by the time she was 13, she was forced into a life that plunged her from one crisis to another. Crises that the enemy would use to break down faith and to break down hope. By the time she was 13, her father had crossed the line and violated some of the most sacred trust that should exist between father and child. Her mother would not tolerate the abuse of their daughter and made a last stand, per se. And with the line in the sand and with arguing and fighting into the night, this young lady hid behind a door blocked by a dresser as her mother stood ground, and righteously so, between father and child, and drove father away. Traumatic. Crisis. Difficult, shake any life. Mother and daughter did their best to navigate the crisis. They pinched pennies and tried their best to manage day to day in the impoverished environment of the East Chicago ghettos. But a year after dad left, her mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. There was medical help, I suppose, and there was hope, but the stress of the cancer was just another punch caused by sin. Now, don't misunderstand me. I would not propose that any sin was committed by her or her mother to cause such a catastrophe, and I would be very cautious to not place that type of guilt on any person. But let's be absolutely true with one another. It was by sin that the turmoils of this life did enter in the world. I want to pause right here. I may get ahead of myself, but I want to pause right here. Let's just stop hating each other and other things in life, and let's put where it belongs, at the feet of sin. Let's just get a hatred for sin and what it does to people and how it destroys lives. I hate sin. I used to always say, I hate the devil and he hates me. I hate everything about hell and sin. I've seen some things in my life that just makes me hate everything about this world, and even more so look forward to those pearly gates. Only 13 years old, pressure caused by sin. Life was difficult enough to break the resolve of any young child. Betrayal, loss of trust, diseased mothers, so much going on in her life. She was brokenhearted. But the enemy doesn't care about what is enough. Enough is never enough in the world. Can I talk to somebody? The world, amen, will never satisfy, amen, the cringy effects of sin. Sin doesn't care about crying children. Sin doesn't care about brokenhearted mothers. Sin doesn't care about distressed fathers. Sin doesn't care about old folks that have, amen, a waning faith because of life trauma. Sin doesn't care. Amen. Sin would sometimes, in my mind, I think sin would rather destroy than to kill. In my mind's eye, I almost sometimes read about Job, and I almost see that Satan even had more fun because the Lord wouldn't allow him to kill Job. In fact, Job said, what? I wish I would die. Some people know what I'm talking about. There's been times in my life where I've said I await death like an old friend. Amen. Sometimes things just hurt so bad. Amen. You just want to get out of here one way or another. Amen. It's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm going to tell you about a better way today. But I can understand through all the things we've seen together that sometimes the enemy, amen, isn't so interested in killing you as he is just day to day destroying your nothing you did. It's not your fault. Nothing you did to cause it on yourself. The devil, though, wants to destroy. Doing all right? We all right, everyone? Never enough. Already enduring. all of this pain walking home when she was 14 with some local friends. She can't remember how, and it's probably good she can and can't remember what happened necessarily, but went missing. The Chicago police found her 3 days later in a government housing building, stuffed in a closet, forced there by her captor. The devil's never satisfied with just a little bit of pain. 15 years old, already enduring more than any child should ever know about. Mother sick, cancer moved to her pancreas, colon. Young Becky was taken out of the eighth grade to give hospice care to her mom. Never able to finish her schooling. 4.5 years, she would nurse mom, do her best to navigate the turns and the surprises of her own life. No mentor, no big sisters to help, no big brothers, no help at home, no fatherly safeguards, disconnected from the body of Christ. Amen. No fault. Sometimes life just happens to people. Years old when mom died, but the devil doesn't care about what is enough. By the time she got home from her funeral, the family had shuttered up the house, and she and her, what she now had a young daughter, they shuttered up the house they lived in with mom, and they took all the contents and put Becky and her little baby out on the street. Her story from that point isn't any easier to hear, and it's a whole lot harder to live. It's a tragedy of which me personally, I've never really heard the equal. For 10 years or so, she would be homeless multiple times. She couldn't get any good job at all because of no education. She would lose jobs because of caring for her children. Her story would take her from East Chicago to literally running for her life across South Central Mexico. She would be chased down by her abusers, 3/4 the length of Mexico in a treacherous race of life and death. The end of that race left her violated at a border city, struggling to sneak back in the United States with no papers, no proof of who she was, relying on total strangers every step of the way. Finally, sneaking back in the U.S., there she stood in San Diego with two daughters, two toddlers, and a predator's child that a small remnant of faith would not allow her to terminate. The story continued. I'm telling you what, it's one of the most amazing stories. I can't share all the details. The law wouldn't allow me to. But it's an incredible story of how she fought her way back home to Indiana. And it was a long fight. Yeah, years of fighting. She found a Pentecostal church. You know how this is going to end. She found a pastor and a pastor's wife that loved. Never underestimate the church, folks. They found a pastor and a pastor's wife that loved her. This young woman found an old Jesus-loving grandma. Grandma, your time's not up. She found an old Jesus-loving grandma that cared for her and mentored her. But most importantly, she found an altar and baptized herself in the grace of Jesus Christ. Today, she is probably the most praying woman I have ever met in over 25 years of ministry. She's a godly woman. She's a virtuous woman. And she's got anointing. We're glad to report those young daughters grew up in the faith because of the church, because of grace, because somebody decided they weren't done yet, because somebody decided they cannot, can I'm going to preach here in a little bit, just stick with me, because somebody decided to look again, somebody decided to step in the ministries that God called them to. Those daughters, they love God. One will graduate with an associate's degree from college. Do you realize how significant that is? The other daughter will graduate this spring from Urshan Bible College, amen, with a degree. Someone say hallelujah. Becky will knock any door. She'll pray against any spirit, and she can be found many nights rubbing anointing oil on the doorpost of our children's bedpost. Jesus loves her, and hell fears her. I'm going to preach a little bit about what grace can do and how it can develop you into a precious jewel that cannot be matched by all of hell. Forgive me for the personal reference, but I felt it was the will of God. And I would ask you, amen, don't talk to her about the past. She doesn't want to talk about it. In fact, in a lot of ways, she can't talk about it. Don't Google her because the authorities will be notified. She'll be notified. It's a process they have her in. Just don't even go there. I call her by her less known name, Amelia, and she is my wife, and I'm proud to call her so. Now, I told you all of that to give some context of what I want to preach today. I'm going to preach for 45 minutes, and I'm going to have a point here at the end, and hopefully it nails it home. One day we were traveling to General Conference, and we were driving through Indiana, and knowing some about her story, I asked her to show me the old hood. So far removed from my life. I'm a fifth-generation Pentecost. And I'm thankful for it, praise God. I was sheltered. I was brought up in the old ways, songs under the pew, la-di-da-di-da. And so there was some interest, some carnal interest to show me the old life, and we went driving around, and she was showing me the old hood, and showing me some of the old back alley rundown sides of East Chicago where she grew up, and hearing stories about the gang. The gangsters and low riders and just people she hung around with. And then she says, real quick, she says, "Turn here." All right, so I turned in. We pulled down a little road, and there was a garage tucked between some larger houses, and it had a door and some windows on it to make it look like a house. And she told me that's where she grew up, in a little garage in East Chicago. It was made to look somewhat like a house, but you could definitely see what it was. And she told me some old stories, and that was fun. And we began to drive away. And as I was driving away to make the necessary turn, I asked her, I said, "How did you do it? How did you do it? Think about all the trouble." I mean, sometimes a broken home derails people. And that doesn't make them little. Don't misunderstand me. It's traumatic. A disease will derail. Some of the strongest people I've seen break under the weight of disease. It doesn't make them little. You understand? It doesn't make them insignificant. I'm just saying it can be heavy. It's heavy. I said, how did you do it? What she said has been drilled into my soul. She said, through every trial. She said, through every trial, I never gave up on the hope that God would someday change it for me. Broken in San Diego, broken in Tijuana, broken in southern Mexico. There were moments where she would say, "God help." You know what she was doing? She was looking again. She was looking just one more time, one more opportunity, amen, to make it to a place called grace. I joke around with the boys. We got a lot of boys in my house. I got a lot of kids. I tell my boys and her son, I said, "Man, you guys are half the man. Your mama is." Amen. The way she fought through, went through things, and she said, she kept on looking. This is the absolute truth. I couldn't believe it. I started to make the turn, and I looked up at the sign. I hit the brakes, and I screamed, "You've got to be kidding me. You have got to." It's absolutely the truth. I pointed to the sign, an exclamation. I said, "You literally grew up on Grace Street." Maybe that doesn't affect some of you. But every time she walked out of a kitchen with no food in the cupboard, she was walking down Grace Street. Every time a gangbanger come calling on her, amen, to take from her, she stepped out onto Grace Street. Every time she cradled that young baby that had no father, she would step onto Grace. You're not hearing me. Every time daddy would show up, amen, and bring his nonsense, she would step out onto Grace Street. Are you hearing me today? I'm trying to help somebody. It may be simple, but in the complexity of life, God has a simple answer for you. Grace. Grace, 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 grace. Take a walk down to Grace Street, friend. Life may be hard. School may be tough. Life may be difficult at home. I don't know what you're going through, but grace
upon grace. Grace upon grace. God is layering it on one at a time. You thought you was just dust, but God said, let me show you what I can do with a grain of sand. And he starts to put the heavenly nature on you.
We'll get used to each other. Grace Street. Do I got enough time? Proverbs likens grace as an ornament on the head. Romans says we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans says offense may abound. You know what that word means? It just keeps on coming. It doesn't quit. It just comes in all the time. Amen. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Look again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant. Amen. That sought goodly pearls. Look again. Your grace, you might seem tough. We as apostolics, now this is easy for a new Christian, and we say, yeah, that new Christian needs grace. That drug addict needs grace, and we believe that, amen. That one off the street, that one that's been wallowing around in that sin needs grace. The apostle would have some very stern words for us today. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, he says, listen, I know you're going to grow in everything. I know you're going to grow and it's going to abound. And while you're doing that, amen, and abounding in faith, let your faith grow. Read the Bible. Amen. Make it to the house of God. Pray, fast, give to the kingdom, grow in faith. Amen. He said, grow in utterance. When you speak about the kingdom of God, grow in it. Let it abound. Amen. Become more eloquent. Preachers, study your craft. Teachers, study your craft. Amen. Grow in utterance. He said, that'll be good. Grow in knowledge. Can I hear an amen? He said, do that and do it all with diligence. Don't give up on it. Amen. But keep with it in your love towards us. He said, oh, let that abound. Grow in love one for another. But us old crusty Christians that think we have everything figured out about life, sometimes we can be so judgmental. Amen. Not only about others, but about ourselves. Once life wears us down a little bit, once life puts a couple things in our basket, amen, that isn't so fun or maybe a little embarrassing to talk about, amen, can I talk to us Christians for a little bit while you grow in all of that and you're doing a good job growing? The Apostle Paul says that you must also abound in grace. You know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know that he was rich. You know it was for your sake and mine that through his poverty you might be rich. Your grace, Jesus, is sufficient for me. You know what that means? It's good enough. It's enough to get you through. Amen. In fact, it's better than that. It's enough to make you look good. Amen. Like you're walking around with an ornament on your life. You've been walking with God for a long time and you messed up. You made some mistakes. I get it. Amen. You might be a, I don't know anything about y'all. You might be a Sunday school teacher or a Bible teacher and have a couple of things at home, amen, that aren't very flattering. Okay, I get it. I want to tell you that grace is sufficient to get you back in the saddle, baby. You just has got to find the feet of Jesus Christ. Can I get just a few more minutes and we'll get out of here? The apostle says, now that I've figured a couple of things out, now that I've walked some life, first of all, I'm not going to be so judgmental of other people. I'm not going to be so judgmental of myself. Can somebody hear me today? For the last 2 weeks, I just felt like somebody, amen, has been so, in this house, has been so judgmental of themselves. Amen, you're almost ready to give up because, amen, you don't see your worth. Amen, I'm way ahead of myself in this sermon, but I just want to tell you right now, amen, it would behoove us all, amen, to not only see, amen, who we are in Christ, but who Christ is in us. It would behoove us all, amen, not to, amen, just see what God can do for others, but what he can do for ourselves. That's right, grace, it's simple, isn't it? We've heard it our whole lives, but when you're stuck and you're grinding and you're trying to find all the answers, Jesus is just here to say, all right, time out, no problem, I got this, grace. Step out on the street. The apostle said, I would rather glory in my infirmities. I feel like I've already preached too long, but I still got a lot of stuff here. I'll bring it in here for a landing as soon as possible. Again, the kingdom of heaven. We all have sand in our life, irritants. Past, present. I've already preached it probably too much. Distant memory, something you battle with, the parasite of life. Look again. Where do pearls come from? When the sinful world irritates your soul, when the happenings are not making you happy, simple grace. Grace is the covering. I thought about John the Baptist when he said, look who's coming. One full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. The kingdom of heaven to me is like this. Grace coming, grace going. Grace for grace. It didn't matter if she walked out and went to the south, she was on Grace Street. It didn't matter if she walked out and went to the north. She was on Grace Street. Maybe south was the right way, sis, but she chose north that day. She don't know why. I don't know why. Nobody knows why, but she just chose north that day and got caught, got stuck. Amen. Amen. But no matter what, it was grace for grace. Grace for grace. I'm going to go fast. Pearls are created by oysters, are they not? And here's what I want to point out. They are a biological process. The only stone of heaven that's created by a biological process. You all know how pearls are made, right? Once that irritant becomes trapped, the unique luster of pearls comes from this nacre covering that over time, the costly pearl begins to slowly form. Now, I got some things I have to say, so the gentleman told me to take my liberty. The longer the must continues, the more the layers of pearls receive. Are you hearing me? The more layers it receives, the more luster this precious stone has. The more layers in luster this pearl has, the more costly it becomes. Look again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls. See, you thought you wasn't good enough because you have this and you have that. But Jesus was saying, I'm going to cover you like this. You thought you weren't good enough because you made this mistake and that mistake. You thought you weren't good enough, amen, because you got this in your life and that in your life. See, you're not seeing yourself like how God sees you. Amen. And sometimes preachers don't even see you like God sees you. Jesus is saying, I'm making something kind of special right now. Amen. What the devil meant for bad, what the enemy meant for evil, God took it and said, I'm going to make something good. And he went to work on you, and he covered you on Monday. He covered you on You see, there's some things 50-year Pentecostals don't understand. There's sometimes, amen, an old Pentecostal doesn't understand what it's like to dance in the presence of the grace giver because they hadn't been there. They haven't lived through it. But I'm talking about grace. I can remember when I was there. I can remember what I went through. You thought you were washed up, finished up. But Jesus is here to say, no, 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 no. I'm just making something extra special. Look again. Look again.
again. Look again. The more life you live, better you're going to look. The more you look, the better you look. See, you thought grace was for the new believer. But I'm going to tell you right now, I need more grace than anybody in this whole life. And once you have the epiphany and the understanding, I stood before the pearly gates in my mind's eye. And as I stood on that welcome mat with trouble, darkness, and trial in my life, I looked way to me. This is how I see it. I looked up at that great big pearly gate, and suddenly I know the streets of gold are going to be nice. And I know primarily I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. That's the most important goal. But as I look at those pearly gates, I realize what God did for me when he took on life so that I could be covered. So look again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. The pearl of great price, can I finish, is not to be bought as an investment. The Christian believer, amen, takes religion as a result of diligent search. Man cannot be joyful without God. Are you hearing me? We'll go from happiness to happiness. We'll go from philosophy to philosophy. We'll go from system to system, turning over every stone of life on the dealer's table. But the believer finding Christ, it is then when this listlessness is transformed into eagerness as we discover the grace of Calvary. Paul said it like this, amen, all those things I lost, I counted them as dung once I found Jesus. The parable introduces us to a man who sits out with the inborn conviction. Maybe it's just the instinct that God has placed in us, the instinct that there's something worth the labor for the search of a lifetime. What made Rebecca get on that bus? I don't have any idea. What made her to crawl out of that back alley of Tijuana, amen, and just try one more time? The only thing I can say is she just made the decision to look one more time. The merchant refuses to be satisfied with the moderate. Grandma, Grandpa, are you satisfied with just the moderate on the closing years of life? Little Becky needed somebody just like you. Would you look again? Sunday school teacher, has things just got difficult and you just got to the point, well, I don't know, I'm just preaching. Can I just preach? Has it gotten difficult and now you're just opening your Sunday school book about 10 or 15 minutes before Sunday school time and getting through it? I understand that's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but we understand. We get it. The only thing I'm trying to say is why not look again? Look again and reignite the passion. Bible study teacher, how long has it been since you found another Bible study? How long has it been since you went through another fast? How long has it been since you found another prayer meeting? How long, men, can I preach to men? How long has it been since you just came to the church and said, Pastor, I have a day off. What can I do for you? Anything you need. Reignite the passion. You're not through. You're not done. Amen. Someone might say, well, he's prideful, doesn't want to get involved. No, no, no. God knows you're struggling. You're struggling with identity. You're struggling with what God wants you to be. And God's just saying, you're that thing. If you would just look again, if you would just reignite the passion and get back in the movement of the kingdom. The parable encourages the spirit of expectation. We would not be prudent to have a God of infinite resources, of infinite love, and allow ourselves to be accustomed to merely negative and doubtful limited conditions. We must believe and accept there is a perfect condition. We must believe that there is an answer. What do I do? How do I get there? Jesus, out of the red letters, amen, is just trying to say, hey, it's simple. You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a doctor for everything. Amen. The pastor, amen, doesn't even need to counsel you on everything. There are some things, if you would just get up and start to knock. If there are some things, if you would just get up and start to ask, your door will be opened and you shall receive.
Seems simple, doesn't it? You're right. I don't know how to deal with a broken family. I'm going to tell you right now, I absolutely don't know what to do with kids on a couch crying at 4 years old due to brokenness. I've been there. It's a loss. I don't know what to do with how to counsel drug addicts that will be a year clean and fall off and hit it again. I was in youth ministries for 15, 20 years, I suppose. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have been so honest at 25 years old, and now at 45, I'll be a little bit more honest. I ain't got any answers. Young ladies come broken, abused, and then mashed up. Young men come in broken, abused, mashed up. I wish I had some eloquent words. Now, especially for you people that have been in the kingdom of God for a long time, and you've just gotten weary. There's no wrong in that. We just get weary sometimes. We just get tired sometimes. We just get weak sometimes, but no. It gets complex. Can I hear an amen? Been times I sat before the district board trying to solve problems and just look at them and say, I just don't know anymore. I don't know why. I don't know how. In all the complexity of life, I found the simple answers on Grace Street. Brother Gene, a few years ago, it would be ridiculous to think I'd be here preaching in Calvin Gene's church. Is that all right? Problem with me and a microphone, but too honest. I didn't have no answers, but I tell you what I'd do. I'd find a spot. All alone, because I didn't want nobody to hear me. I'd fight with God. I might even call him some names. Like I said, I'm a little bit too honest. You don't have to say amen, don't raise your hand or nothing, but anybody else ever been there? Broken. Distraught. You choir was on point today, let me tell you what. See, you think you're insignificant? I began to weep during that choir song, because so many times young people can say, oh, what am I doing? I'm just participating in the choir. But let me tell you something, you prayed, you read those scriptures. You got up there. How many of y'all was in that choir today? Most all of you? You sang that song and it pierced my soul. And what you were doing, you were lifting up a preacher. You were giving him some confidence in the anointing that God had already placed. It was grace, see? Grace upon grace. The complexities of life answered in the simplicity of the gospel. Stand with me. Stick with me for just a couple seconds, and I'm going to give it to you all. Now, it's just me. This is just me talking. I used to tell people at home, most places I go, we have to access the altar every opportunity. It should just be, in my opinion, just part of our religion. Not waiting for folks, just participating. I'm not going to beg you. I'm not one of these guys to pull you out and push you, kick you in. Shake your head till you fall down backwards. That's not my style. When I'm done preaching, I'll be done. But I would invite you to come to the feet of Jesus Christ. Is it not interesting how Jesus, being the supreme example, renounced all that he might be the merchant, coming to seek his goodly pearl? See, you haven't been seeing yourself as Jesus has been seeing you. And Jesus is walking through the aisles looking. He became that proverbial grain of sand and died. Would you come to his feet today? Would you come to this altar and say, Jesus, thank you for paying the price? A simple message for the complex of life. Is there anybody in here that needs grace? The Lord wants to cover you one layer at a time and shine you. He wants to give you luster like you've never could even imagine. You thought you was washed up, used up, beat down. But Jesus said, the joke's on the devil. The joke is on sin. Come on up here and get some grace. Maybe right where you're at, if you could just lift your hands up, start putting some grace. Grace for grace. Grace for grace. 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 Grace.